This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here are your hosts, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer.
I can't believe we're letting these guys on my network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Happy Friday, Kramer. Happy Saturday to Nova Scotia.
That's confusing. You wished two different days to do to two different people.
Well, you're enjoying Friday. Our good buddies in Nova Scotia are enjoying Saturday.
So maybe you say happy Friday to me, and yes, I say happy Saturday to Nova Scotia.
Well, you know what makes a great Saturday? Some Omaha Steaks. That's right. Football meets flavor with VSiN and Omaha Steaks, the official sponsor of tailgating. Oh, look at these juicy chicken wings I got up on the screen. Right now, when you spend $129, you get 2 pounds of fully cooked chicken wings. Perfect for any party, for a big game, a tailgate, plus 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. So you get the 2 pounds of fully cooked wings, plus 50% off at omahasteaks.com/VSIN. That's omahasteaks.com/VSIN. Minimum purchase required. See site for details. Joining us on the line, the man, the myth, the legend, a fellow Jag fan, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, CJ Sullivan. CJ, what's happening?
Hey, fellas, what's up there, guys? And yes, congratulations to your Jags, Kramer.
I appreciate. Thank you.
I mean, it's been a great time for us, us Jag fans, as it's come to fruition. But I'm also a Philly fan, as you know that, Sean.
So yeah,
playing both in the same day, and actually on the show, Sports Gaming Podcast, I remember you questioned my loyalty. You said, "Who would I be happier with?"
Yes, I did.
If they won the Super Bowl, and questioning my Philly fandom, and who? I'll ask you, which one of us is going to be boots on the ground at the link on Sunday?
That's true.
I'm flying to Philadelphia. This is the get up right now. And I live in Los Angeles. I realize the cold blood has kind of left me. So I'm trying to prep myself up, you know, and get myself, ready for the cold weather out there. Cause you get a little soft out here in California, but I went to go buy some thermals. I don't know if they're going to do the trick. They're LA thermals. You know, they're not, they're more, oh, there they are right there. If you could show,
it even says basic on there. Are you going to survive this bleak tailgate in those basic thermals, CJ?
Right. They had one pair of Carhartts, but they were yoga pants. And I'm like, I don't think this is going to help at all. But yeah, they laughed in my face when I asked thermal. So we'll see. We'll get out there and I'm sure it'll come back to me.
he's got the headband, the Flyers headband, the Eagles mm-hmm. gloves ready to throw down. No, the link is going to be rocking come Sunday. CJ, never question your loyalty, although I do see some potential Jag ladders on here, but we'll start with that Jag game. I see you got a ladder, but not for your Jags. What's your first ladder here?
Well, this is, if you think about it deeply, it is a pro Jags ladder because the Jaguars, of course, will be handling this game and they'll be in control game script the entire way. Buffalo's going to have to throw the ball a lot. I know they look at James Cook, but Jacksonville, of course, number one rush defense. Josh Allen will have to Superman this game and he'll be throwing the ball. And obviously, when it comes to Bills receivers, none of them are reliable. They don't rely on anyone. That's why they keep signing people. They signed this guy about a month ago. Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
He became, all of a sudden, he's their outside threat. Jacksonville's actually very good against the slot. So I don't expect a good game from Khalil Shakir. Their tight ends will get off a little bit, but Keon Coleman's not a thing. Josh Allen, a couple weeks ago, he had a 100-yard game versus the Eagles. And granted, a couple of busted plays, but that's what's going to happen. He throws deep balls to him. He's going to be the outside guy. And Josh Allen, I mean, he seemed to trust him. He was a veteran. He didn't play last week, week 18, which I think is a great sign. But they think he's ready and they want to just get to gear him up for this game. So his number is insanely low. It's like at 15 yards just for a regular over under. So we're obviously going to vault that. The Brandon Cooks ladder, we'll just start at 40 yards, is plus 272. 50 yards plus 427. Now, granted, like we said, all he has to do is what he did the last time out, which was 100 yards. 60 yards plus 650. 70 is 10 to 1. 80 yards is plus 1680. And I'm telling you, they're not even letting me go this high because they know 90 yards, 25 to 1. And for Brandon Cooks, the old school journeyman. We don't have an old journeyman anymore. He's an old school journeyman. 100 yards is 33-1 for Brandon Cooks to do exactly what he did versus a much better defense than the Eagles.
Yeah, no, and again, last time they had their start, that was their offense, was just chucking up prayer balls to, they call them prayer yards instead of air yards. They were just chucking them up to Brandon Cooks. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's a fun play in a garbage scenario where your Jags are running away with it.
I love this angle. Do we want to take a look at him to have the most receiving yards this weekend?
Oh, CJ, what do you think of that?
I love that one, and I put it on my slide. I found it. I was looking for a number. I mean, They're going to be a Cole Kmet number where you can't give me a Brandon Cooks for crying out loud. But no, I found a 251 at one of the sites, if you will.
Yes. I was going to say there's 200 to one here at the Circa. Anyway, big numbers, big toppers.
Let's go with Circa there. 200 to one Circa. Why not? He is a deep threat. The volume alone, Allen's going to throw the ball 50 yards. Ryan, you did bring up during rehearsal that you just got to avoid the pass interference because he's very good at just trying to draw pass interference. Yeah, he actually has to catch the ball, which could be a problem.
Yeah, he has had some issues. Crazy amount of teams he's been on for a guy who kind of produces in all of his spots.
Clearly a prickly character.
Must be a real.
I think he's just a rambling man who doesn't really need to settle down.
Go town to town. He's like the Joe Flacco of receivers. What's another ladder, CJ, for Wild Card Weekend.
Thank you for not calling it Super Wild Card Weekend there, Sean. NFL would like you to forget that ever happened the last 2 years. Going to go to that night game now. This of the bad weather ones. I think it will be the best of the bad weather, if that makes sense, the New England Chargers game. And I think there's going to be a lot of air yards here for at least the Chargers. I think all the Chargers numbers are pretty low. Now, obviously, they have a terrible offensive line. But luckily, the Patriots do not like the pressure as much, and I don't think it'll be a problem. And the last time that happened, which is just a couple weeks ago, granted it was against Dallas, but Herbert looked great again. 300 yards, all the touchdowns when he has protection. Versus Houston, Philly, he's not. So I think Herbert, with a week of rest, this O-line with a week of rest, is going to have plenty of time to throw the ball. Quentin Johnson has been a surprise all year, and he's going to be a great deep threat here. And I think he goes over the top a couple times here. There's a good opportunity here. Quentin Johnson at 50 yards is plus 160. Let's leap a couple playoff pegs here. 70 yards is 4-1. 80 yards is plus 610. 90 at plus 980. Now, 100-yard game for Quentin Johnson is 15-1. I just preface that because that's all advise all clients to go towards. But there's sites that offer just some super duper tippy top playoff numbers, if you will, to the ladder. You can go up to 130 yards at 50-1. What?
Wow.
Why are you going to offer that number? Because I'm going to take it. But 130 yards, 50-1, 120 is 30-1. It's crazy. But I do like Quentin Johnson to get into 80-100 yards.
Well, and we were talking about this. We talked some playoff leaders on our props episode, Sports Gambling Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And I think, obviously, if you like the ladder, you got to also be playing them to lead the weekend, I think, here a little bit because again, like if Brandon Cooks, if he goes off, if he has 90, 100 yards, you know he's going to be, he's going to be in the mix there. Yeah. I mean, last year, McConkey had 195. That was like a bonkers game script in a dome, crazy, crazy. But now we got no indoor games, all outdoor games, weather in a lot of games, as you've highlighted. So I think if you like some of these receivers to go off, you gotta play the leader market as well.
I agree.
Certainly the leader market, just for comparison's sake, I think you said 130 was 50-1. You can find between 50 and 65-1 on him to lead the weekend. So that's probably on the fringe of
Brandon Cooks, it was, what'd you say, CJ, like 33 for 100-1? I mean, the 200-1.
Well, that's a different that's one. Gasoline right there. love this one. If you miss, I just showed off two big TDs from Quentin Johnson.
Yes, so they were great.
I co-signed this message, which, by the way, if you wanted to pair 125 yards with two touchdowns, it pays 96-1.
Now that's a spicy meatball for Harbaugh and Justin Herbert. We know he always comes up big in playoff games.
Might have to blur CJ's face with that. I don't know if that's safe for the airwaves.
CJ does like in the office when we're walking around and you put out like a really long number, he just gets this like deviant like his eyes, and it's just like, oh, what's that you saying over there?
Well, it was a combination of those juicy numbers. And I also, I got the producer footage on my feed, and I'm just looking at the Omaha Steaks.
Oh, yeah.
As well. So
those wings do look good.
Making me think of Magic City.
Grazing.
And I don't know what happened. Humans cleaned us out. Usually there's some scraps left over for the late shift, but there was not a morsel of Omaha Steaks left for the old Sports Gambling Podcast.
He emptied it out in the gym bag.
Yeah.
I'm going to have no hour three meat sweats.
No meat sweats tonight. All right, CJ, 1 minute real quick. You got to have a positive. You got to have a positive Jags play here, right?
No, of course. One what Ryan, of course, agree with. It's the coronation. It's the party. There's a quick sack ladder. You have Josh Hines Allen versus Josh Allen, the namesake. He's angry that he had to add a middle name just because of him, you know, one of those celebrities afterwards anyway. But also, he's been one of the best defensive players of the year, and his pressure rate has been insane second half of the season. Quick sack. And Josh Allen has been taking a lot of bad sacks this year, especially when he plays hero ball. He goes back there. I have full confidence in Jacksonville. We'll get at least a couple sacks in this game. So let's go Josh Hines Allen. He's plus 115 for one sack, but two sacks, six to one. Let's go.
Let's go.
We got big checks walking.
Breaking news right behind us. Wow. Big checks coming through the sports book. Look at this parade of giant checks. Probably just going to put it down all on the Jags. I wonder if you can catch that at the book there. Of course, they are streaming the check ceremony over on the X feed of Easton Live and the YouTube feed. When we return, more CJ Sullivan. We'll talk some playoff leaders for the whole shebang and we're going to take home a pleaser card. All that and much more. Sports Gambling Podcast live on Visa.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live. Sean Second Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. Happy Friday, Kramer.
Thank you.
We got a little bit of a shot there. They were just parading around. They had drums, they had the bottle girls with the big checks, lights going everywhere. Truly is awesome. And it's got to be pretty cool. And I know, Derek, you're becoming a football millionaire. It really is the American dream.
It's got to feel good to carry a big check. One day. Yes.
One day, Kramer. One day we'll keep chasing that jacket and that giant check. Hey, real quick, if you're looking to advertise here on VSiN, you can do it with Mission Media. If you want real results, Mission Media connects your brand with audiences that actually engage. Look at this. Live TV, top-ranked podcasts, daily newsletters, website traffic, more than 400 radio affiliates nationwide, and, of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Get started today at VSiN.com/advertise or email advertising@VSiN.com. That's VSiN.com/advertise. Speaking of, hanging out with us on the Progressive Guest Line, the one and only CJ Sullivan from the Bottom Line Bombs podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. CJ, what do you want to talk first? Do we want to attack this pleaser card, this elusive pleaser card, or do you want to give out a playoff future leader you like?
I don't know. We should cram it in because I don't want to need to get bumped again for styrofoam checks. I mean, yeah, I've been in the biz before. I know what getting bumped is,
but
that
checks,
was the first time. Yeah. Just a parade. Like it was the Stanley Cup. They just paraded through the sports book and everyone just make way for the mid cash check. Huge checks.
There's some poor sap who was on Oregon sitting in the book going, oh man. Yeah. Yeah, you got to rub it right in my face, but
holding on to his Oregon bet.
Yeah. All right, CJ, let's give me a playoff leader future that you like. Of course, they have these markets pretty fun to play into: a passing touchdown leader, receiving touchdown leader, rushing touchdown leader. And, you know, it's a combination of games played with, you know, whether they're going to go off or not. What's one that's jumping out at you?
There's a lot of great fun numbers here. I've been telling him for a while. I hit his ladder last week right here on this VSiN segment, but we all know the Jaguars are going to the Super Bowl. That has been confirmed in all the futures and in all this show. I mean, and he's still slightly underpriced, but Parker Washington to lead receiving yards is 40-1. He's becoming the Jaguars' number one receiver. He's the one Trevor Lawrence trusts most. Now, I have a lot of receivers. They spread it out a lot around, obviously, but that's what Strange and Jacoby Myers does. But Parker Washington is clearly their number one last 3 weeks, 20 targets, and he just keeps banging them out 100 yards. So 40-1 for a team that plays all the maximum games if they get to the Super Bowl, of course, I think it's nice value.
Yeah. No, I mean, Parker Washington's kind of become his guy. I gave him out most receiving yards for the weekend at 25-1. So I totally see the case there. For me, I'm going to go to my boy, Dallas Goedert. Leads the Eagles in receiving touchdowns with 11. And he's only one back of Davante Adams for the regular season receiving touchdowns. So him to have the most receiving touchdowns in the playoffs at 22-1. You only need to get 3 or 4 to get home. I love his matchup here in the first game. And if the Eagles go on a bit of a run here, I think he's going to be a good value. So give me Dallas Goedert, most receiving touchdowns for the playoffs at 22-1. Kramer, what are you doing? Give us a leader market.
I'll be completely honest. The first thing I looked at was, do they have a Trevor Lawrence rushing yards number?
A rushing yards?
Get me out of the way. They do not. They do not, but they do have his rushing touchdowns.
Oh, well, the price has really dropped because Kramer, across from me at Saginaw's breakfast, goes, he's down to 14-1 for 2 touchdowns. They finally figured out Trevor.
There's a so again, CJ and I both believe. And we have some graphics of CJ and I in the office heading to the office.
In the Jagwagon.
Oh, look.
Yeah. Shout out to our great listeners and AI. As some people pointed out, Kramer, the steering wheel is on the wrong side.
It's Duval. Duval County, we drive on the left.
Well, and again, they're home. Yeah, they are. They're European. They are. Their home away from home is London, although they actually got destroyed in that game.
That's true.
They lost. That's why we picked it up so cheap. And we are in the HOV lane because we are in Los Angeles. So, that's how we take the Jaguar wagon to work every day this year.
We've seen this before. I mean, it doesn't take but 3 or 4 rushing touchdowns potentially to get on top of this kind of market. We've seen quarterbacks recently do this, like Jalen Hurts, piling up the rushing touchdowns to take down this market. And he's 30-1. Now, you have to kind of adjust the price for the game, the projected games played. And again, the fact that they have this pick'em game against the Bills is just juicing their prices up. So while, again, we're not getting a great number here, this is for the brand. Duval, baby.
Just in case you are worried, Kramer didn't have enough riding on the Jags.
You know, everyone
there's
laughed,
one more.
Everyone laughed at me and CJ before the year when you're were right. So optimistic.
You're right. People were doubting that they would go 13-4.
Literally.
I was on their over, but I didn't have them going 13-4.
I almost need to put a bounty out. If anyone else can prove they predicted 13-4.
Yes.
I will
send
give you a
in,
reward.
We'll get you
a merch store card or something. Right. Something is going
like,
your way.
Yeah. And like, listen, I welcome people in the Jaguar, but they do come late. It's kind of like a band you discover early on and they blow up, like, all right. You know, I remember Green Day with them when they were at the clubs, up in Seattle, whatever, enjoy the music, I guess, the more the merrier. But yeah, we were on the ground floor.
All right, let's get to the real business at hand, the pleaser card. They fixed the printer or whatever was stopping them from putting out the pleaser card last week, and now we're threading quite a needle. If we're going to get 3 of these 6 games pleaser worthy, and we certainly do see some pleaser-esque games in the wild card round, CJ, you have the honors. What is your first pleaser pick for wild card weekend?
Remind the audience, Sean, that the last time we did pick a pleaser, we won.
Yes. We are on week 7.
It was week 17, and then week 18 came, and that's when the printer issues came up at the Circuit Casino. Yeah, I'm not throwing accusations around, but they know when the pleaser sharps get hot. And that was us, so now to give us less games, that's fine. But you look at those games, I mean, listen, I'll take this one because I know Ryan's going to pick up my back for the one that we all know is going to be played. And it goes against both you guys' sides, but give me those Rams to open up.
Oh, wow.
I don't care. They are going to slaughter Carolina.
Well, and, I will say that was what the research taught me. You either take the dog on the money line or you take the favorite laying the points.
So I won't be playing Carolina plus 3.5. All right. CJ's all over the Rams. All right.
There's what do you a couple mean? Interesting. Just circle options. The Jags. Just okay. put the circle Jags the on Jags them. It's 6.5. Right. What
that's
are we
what
doing?
I knew I'd say from Brian. That one's automatic. That's like
what are we doing here?
Given that's your center bingo number. That's free.
It's a great point, CJ. I'm gonna do a couple of these.
I like the Steelers to win, but I'm kind of worried about the 4.5. Now the Chargers winning by 3.5 does feel a little more realistic. CJ, I think Kramer's is harder on the Chargers.
I'm shocked we're not taking the Eagles.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. That's why I took the Rams. I thought it was going to be set up easy. Rams, Jags, Eagles. When we did the show in rehearsal this morning, I'm like,
The Eagles winning 22-10 like they did against the Packers. All right. Since you're twisting my arm, give me the Eagles. Laying 11.5. So we got the Rams laying 17.5. Jags, of course, Duval laying 6.5, and then the Eagles laying 11.5. And actually, that's probably a pretty good number because Circa, this is your necro pleaser, CJ. We're playing into a dead number because the Circa has the Eagles as a 6-point favorite now. Opened up at 3, already up to 6.
Both the Jags and the Eagles are dead numbers because the Jags is off of 1.5. So
yeah, you're right. Okay, so we're getting tremendous value on this.
We just got to wheel the Eagles and the Jags with everything.
And Sean, real quick, it's our necro, please. Yeah. Don't try to throw that on me when the hate emails come here because we get loose with the language. But yes, that's when we do a please or dead number. It's called a necro, please. And that's a double one. That's great. I mean, I think this is such an easy one for us. It's so obvious. You have to play it.
Kramer, do you want to remind people the bubbles for if you're playing along at home, if you got one of the Scantron sheets, what are we filling in here?
Bubble one, Rams minus 17.5, bubble six, Jaguars minus 6.5, and bubble seven, Eagles minus 11.5.
Okay. Real quick, CJ, you are going to be reporting live from Lincoln Financial Field, boots on the ground, going back there to support our birds. Real quick, what is the final score prediction, 49ers and Eagles?
Well, and first of all, well wishes to all the participants. We certainly want to see Brock Purdy get hurt again. And then a backup thing where like what happened last time. And there's an emergency quarterback to throw him left-handed, even though Shanahan asked for the rule. And then he's not even going to follow it. That being said, it's going to be 33-13.
Ooh.
33-13.
That gets it done.
That does get it done. Yep. Of course, subscribe to the Bottom Line Bombs wherever you get your podcast. Big thanks to CJ Sullivan. Follow on X at CJ Sullivan. Kramer, when we return, more NFL picks. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VC.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Sackman, Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Well, not a lot of time to chit chat, Sean. We got games to talk
about. Well, Fernando Mendoza, real quick, two college football playoff games. 8 passing touchdowns, 5 incompletions. Just insane. Just insane.
Also, his use of the stat sheet in front of him at the desk, very polished. He's going to crush interviews, I'm telling you.
He will.
As much as I don't think he's a first-round quarterback, he's going to pass the test.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, all right. Let's talk enough college football talk, Sean, although we do have an opener for the college football championship.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Colby next segment. Break that down, react to it live. Stay tuned.
All right. Bills, Jags. We've talked a little bit about this game already. The Jacksonville.
We've had a little Jags talk already. Yes.
Jags laying. Oh, no, they're a pick. What is this? They're not laying points at home for a playoff game in Duval. Everyone's making a big fuss about the Panthers. having all these festivities. You don't think Duval's going to be rocking? The Bills coming to town? Like I said, pick 51.5 is the total. You know where I stand here, Sean.
Yeah.
Tell me what you like about the Jags this week.
I do like the Jags. Yeah, I like their ability to slow down the run. I mean, you look at this Bills team. If they can't get James Cook going, they do struggle. Jacksonville, only team in the NFL not to allow a player to run for 75 yards in a single game this season. And you look at the Bills, the entire season, they've only won two games this year with Cook getting less than 75 yards. Week one against Baltimore, obviously a crazy game script there. And then week 10 against the Bucs at home, both games at home, haven't been able to do that on the road. So I think if you can slow down James Cook, and then on the other side, Bills struggle against the running back. So I think this Jags team's going to stay hot. I don't know if they go on that same run that Ryan is predicting, because they're coming in winning 8 in a row. I think they're good here, and then we'll see what happens after that. As far as the Jags' weaknesses, they're not great against the tight end. I think Dawson Knox could find the end zone. But I think if the Bills get it done, it's with Josh Allen and his legs. So I think that is something you got to keep an eye on. But overall, I mean, this Bills defense kind of soft, and especially on the road, they've struggled here. So I think this is a coming out party for Jags. If you're not already aware of the Jags, it does seem possibly the team to beat in the AFC. Kramer, I know we're not the only ones. Of course, you've been on the Jagwagon all season long, but even others are hopping on the Jagwagon, including Jeff Schwartz. Let's take a listen.
I think it's Jacksonville, which again scares me to win the AFC. There's a scenario where they have two straight home games, right? It's possible. And then go to Denver, let's say, or maybe they host the AFC Championship game. And then I look at the Rams. I think the Rams are better than Seattle. I know they beat them a couple weeks ago, did Seattle. I look at the Rams as being that team. Head coach, quarterback, good in the trenches, can rush the passer, have been there before. It's kind of wild. A 5 seed right now is the second best odds. They won't have a home game in the postseason. They have to play 3 road playoff games. But they're comfortable playing on the road. They're comfortable in weather and bad elements. They're a team that's ready for this moment. So I think Rams-Jacksonville is probably the way I'd roll here.
And of course, Jags went into Denver and beat them up pretty bad. And I think that was if you weren't taking the Jags seriously, you certainly had to after that win.
Well, there was a lot of talk about they haven't played anyone there, but it's almost a little bit like a college field. They were just putting up 35 points on everyone. And I think, you know, the narrative about the Bills defense, 31st and DVOA against the run, that's there's going to be opportunity there. But I think the quiet part of the story here is, you know, the defense is playing excellent. The defense is going to give Josh Allen. I think the defense is going to put the game on Josh Allen's arm.
Yeah.
And he's been making mistakes when they do that. And it's crazy to say this. Well, not for me, but for most. I trust Trevor Lawrence right now, the way he's playing versus Josh Allen. If my MVP ballot, Trevor Lawrence, number one.
Okay. It's shocking.
And I'm also, now do you want to talk about alt numbers? Any interest in
No, I'm good at the pick. Give me Jags here. Took it at the Circa. Here's a pick. And Josh Allen hasn't won a road playoff game. 0-4 straight up NATS. And I'm not the only one saying it, but I do think if the Bills early exit here, look to Harbaugh possibly making a run there for the Bills head coaching job if they get rid of a McDermott.
Interesting. Did you see Harbaugh's list of demands?
No.
$20 million a year, apparently, okay, is what he's looking for money wise, which doesn't matter. There's no salary cap there, but it has come out that he will be installing his own GM.
Oh, so bad news for Joe Shane if he ends up going to the Giants, right?
Well, yeah, I think it's bad news for Joe Shane.
So officially give me the Jags here as a pick. Kramer, lock it in.
Yeah, give me the Jags as a pick. And then I'm also going to lay Circa has 4.5 plus 180.
Oh, right, okay.
So I'm going to lay it. And then we'll see there. I've looked in faraway places down near the equator. They have -13.5 and -16.5 that are calling my name. So, and of course, we already talked about the pleaser.
A lot of Jags action.
Anything else you'd like? Yeah. Honestly, I'm not even that crazy with props in this game.
No, I think ETN has a good game. And I think they're able to slow down James Cook, and I think that's the difference.
Yeah, James Cook's under is a strong look in the rushing game. What is it? Jags haven't allowed a 75-yard rusher all season, I believe.
Yep.
All right, game number two on Sunday. Your Philadelphia Eagles taking on the San Francisco 49ers. San Francisco coming all the way across the country. This number opened 3.5 and it's shot all the way up to 6, Sean. 44.5 is the total. I think the more that people probably sat down and thought about this one, in some ways you can discard some of the Eagles' offensive woes in the regular season, because to me they were hinged on the idea that Jalen Hurts was trying to not run the ball more. In the playoffs, I'm confident he's going to go back to running the ball, using his legs when he needs to. And, you know, you mentioned the Dallas Goedert stuff. That's all nice. I even think Saquon Barkley could have a little bit of a shocking game here in terms of a positive based on how bad his season was, as I think they're going to push them around a little bit. I do think Lane Johnson coming back matters. And I think Eagles score points on offense, and I don't know if the Eagles allow too many on defense. And so this one to me, just like the Jags, playing the alt numbers, blowout city.
Yeah, no, simple formula. Eagles at home, Jalen Hurts 5-0 straight up, 4-1 ATS. I think they take care of business here against the 49ers. Maybe it's not even the prettiest game, like against the Packers, 22-10, where they get up and they just kind of squeeze the life out of you. And this defense is, I'm telling you, it's a championship caliber defense. And on the other side, offensively, with these linebackers banged up, that plays right into the Eagles' hands. I'm with you, Kramer. I like the Hurts over rushing yards. That's sitting at 31.5. I think Goddard could get into the end zone, as I mentioned earlier. I think they have some nice matchups for them. This 49ers defense is just incredibly banged up. They went on the road and they let dusty old Phillip Rivers put up 28 on them or whatever it was. I think they're going to struggle to slow down this Eagles team, who is incredibly well rested. That was a brutal physical game they played against Seattle. And now you got to fly out to the East Coast. You heard all the 49ers players saying, hey, we're looking forward to that rest. We need that bye. We don't want to have to travel. And now that reality is staring them right in the face as they got to go to the East Coast, play a very well rested, healthy Philadelphia Eagles team. I think they roll in. And I think Fangio is going to, Fangio versus Shanahan, I think, is actually a good matchup for Fangio. Historically, he's done very well against the Kyle Shanahan offense, albeit with maybe substandard quarterbacks, but that's usually where Shanahan shines. The great Sal Powell weighed in on a similar angle.
I'm going to say something. It might be controversial. I think this Eagles defense is better than the one that won the Super Bowl last year.
I think you might be right.
Ooh, that is strong.
I think they're better.
I
do. You got Pro Bowlers at all three levels. You got 4 decades plus of experience from Vic Fangio. And you heard today Kyle Shanahan talking about how he tried to hire Vic Fangio 3 times. And Fangio against Shanahan is 3-1, by the way, in his career. 3-1.
Yeah, I agree with the Sal Powell. I don't think the offense is as good as last year's team, but I think the defense is actually better. I mean, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, those guys were rookies. Jordan Davis has lost a bunch of weight. He's much better. Nakobe Dean's on the field. Jalen Carter, I think, is better this year. So I think they're like a noticeably better defense than last year. And I think last year's defense was pretty good. So I think the defense is really how they're going to win games and go on a run here. But I think the offense is going to be able to do enough, especially against a banged up 49ers defense. So I think the Eagles roll here. I'm always going to be riding with the birds. But I think in particular, this is a pretty solid matchup for them, Kramer.
The Niners gave up 89 points to the Titans, the Colts, and the Bears in 3 straight weeks. So I do think there's some points to be had. And we got through the whole entire set. I guess we won't have time to talk about Elf Fields and the effect on the San Francisco 49ers health.
Yeah, look out for those magnetic fields. Go check out that tweet that went viral about how their practice field being a substation next to a substation is slowly deteriorating their muscles.
Good.
All time, if you want to. The truth is out there. Do a little digging on that situation. So, yes, give me the Eagles laying the 6. Obviously, 3.5 is better, but I think it's still good here on the 6. When we return, college football national championship with Colby Dan, Sports Gambling Podcast Live on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast Live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Sack of the Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Very excited to talk about this national championship game with Colby.
Yeah, no, early look and joining us on the line from the college experience. Check it out wherever you get your podcast live on YouTube. Colby Dant, a.k.a. Pick Dundee, hanging out on the Progressive Guest Line. Colby, what's happening, man?
Oh, just, you know, nothing like a sweat-free, after the first play of the game with D'Angelo Pons, that was, I felt like we cashed it right then. First play of the game.
I was saying, I was putting in my bets for the NFL, and I was, you know, if you know the Circa's layout, there's just like that huge crowd there, and I'm like looking at the sheet, kind of glancing up at the college football game starting, and then that pick six happens and the crowd erupts. It almost like startled me, the noise from the Circa. Again, great live experience here. And then it was off and running there. I thought, you know, Oregon quickly answered. You think, okay, maybe. And there's always that weirdness of like your offense hadn't been out there for a really long time because of the pick six. And then Oregon with that long answer, but man, you know, never in doubt. And I gave out the Alta 13.5, and that wasn't even a sweat.
Yeah. And, you know, so I think that makes it what, JMU 2-1 all time against Oregon this year.
If people don't listen to the podcast, explain your JMU take for those that might be new.
Well, their entire coaching staff was at James Madison. Kalen Black, who had a touchdown rushing today. Elijah Surratt, their star wideout, had two receiving touchdowns today. Kamara, they had multiple defensive linemen from JMU that had forced fumbles and sacks this game. And then Aiden Fisher, their linebacker, with a big fourth down stop, former JMU guy. And then Pons, the corner, the first play of the game. He's a former JMU guy, probably going to be the first corner drafted in the NFL draft. So to see JMU beat them, Sean, and also how about the fact that this, Oregon, we can finally put to bed these recruiting rankings were a sham for so long just to prop up these brands, right? So Oregon with 58 4 and 5 stars, right? With the Indiana Hoosiers sitting there at what, over 73 stars on their roster? They have seven 4-star players on their team in total. And a lot of those are getting the 4-star treatment because of the transfer portal.
It is remarkable. Because that is generally Colby's whole theory here is that that's how the polls are created. You have the best players. You have the most number of players. We're going to rank you higher. So this is good for all things. What I like the most is how they are just absolutely curb stomping teams. They are taking teams out to the woodshed like the SEC was worried about hurting people, right? Like all the pundits with their takes about worried about JMU and Tulane
it's
getting
a health
hurt.
Issue.
I got to be honest, whoever plays this team, you know, should we
allow Big Ten teams in the college football playoff besides Indiana? This is a health issue. I mean, imagine if JMU lost by this margin.
Oh my goodness. And I, you know who got hurt tonight? Dante Moore's draft stock.
Oh, not a great.
The announcers were like, you know, in the draft stuff, it's really about projection. He's got all the tools in the world.
Someone had a great tweet. They go, he hasn't even been drafted. The Jets have already broken Dante Moore. So getting ahead of it with some Jets hot takes there. We got to talk about the other side, though. Awesome game between Miami and Ole Miss. Just real back and forth. It was nice. I was on Miami, certainly a bit of a sweat there. Carson Beck, who and Mario Cristobal, guys we've been critical of, came up huge in a huge spot. Colby, what was your make of Miami's win over Ole Miss there?
Well, I mean, Miami did everything. Credit to them. I never thought Mario Cristobal would be coaching in a national championship. No. But like, if you look at the box score of that game, it's almost amazing that they almost lost the game. I mean, they were losing with less than 2 minutes left.
Yeah.
And it's like, you look at the box score and you're like, wait a second here. Ole Miss was 2 of 10 on 3rd and 4th down. Miami was 13 of 21 on 3rd and 4th down. It's like, how the heck did Miami almost lose this game? They did drop a lot of interceptions. Maybe that had something to it. They also threw a pick in the red zone. But either way, shout out to Miami for getting there. I never thought Cristobal would get them there, even though I know he can recruit well. And John Ruiz will write those checks. But I still think this is a great spot for the Hoosiers just and, because.
Go ahead.
Well, no, you got Mario Cristobal, who was a high school teammate of Fernando Mendoza's dad.
Oh,
you
wow.
You got to love that. And also the fact that his mom went to the University of Miami as well. So I'm sure growing up in Miami, Fernando Mendoza, they probably sent a lot of tape to University of Miami, knowing that Cristobal was the head coach there. So I think this one's going to be personal for Mendoza.
Mm. Never heard Mendoza back.
And the game is in Florida. They've opened it here at the Circa, 7.5, 48 to the total.
Called it.
We were discussing earlier, the look ahead or the projected number was 6 before the games were played. And so, Colby, first look, is there any way you can get in the way of this Mendoza train?
I can't, because like Indiana just doesn't beat themselves.
No.
Like that's they're so prepared. They stay in their lanes. You saw it on the fourth down and one when Aiden Fisher stayed disciplined and shot right through the gap. And you know, that play was designed misdirection. He didn't fall for the misdirection. Same with Pons, the first play of the game, he jumps on that pass before the receiver even makes his break. So he had watched the film. You could tell that they're just so well prepared. And to me, as you saw, like with Miami and Ole Miss, you know, credit to Miami. I know this will be a home game for them, but they almost gave away that game. And it was kind of like, if you watch that game, I felt like you always thought Miami was up 2 scores, even though they were just barely up. So I think Indiana's the player. They're a team of destiny. And that's another thing. Once we went to this 12-team playoff, everyone said, we'll never have an undefeated team again, a super dominant team again. Indiana looks like one of the best teams I've ever seen in my life watching college football right now.
Crafting my take in real time. While I do think the number's big, and the math side of my brain probably says to take the U, I would never do that. And as I'm crafting this and turn it upside down, as I'm crafting, which by the way, the Ole Miss player is doing that. Like, what are you doing? You're losing the game. Miami hosting a national championship? Is that the best environment? You want Michael Irvin and the team close to home?
And
got your normal ladies around.
And in some ways, Miami has been successful on the road, maybe away from distractions, maybe an extra ability to focus. And then I think Colby nailed it with, that pick 6. Clearly, Cignetti is preparing these guys. And now you have this extra week plus to prepare. Man, it's going to be tough to get in front of this Indiana team right now. The counter is we saw the ball bounce right multiple times for Indiana, right? It was the 985 offensive plays without losing a fumble. They had 3 very losable fumbles in this game. Now, wouldn't have mattered in this game, but hypothetically, against a very good Miami defense, a Miami defense that's probably due for the ball to bounce their way right. They had their hands on 4 or 5 interceptions. And someone who was bet on Miami, if I had hair, I'd be pulling it out because they were so close to picking off Chambliss so many times there. Obviously, that's how they're going to win this game, but it's tough to project Mendoza and Cignetti into a lot of mistakes with extra time.
That almost sack fumble we saw is his weakness. He does have real bad pocket awareness sometimes. And Miami's pass rush is better than I think what we saw today from Oregon. So that would be the matchup to circle. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know if I can get in front of this train.
Yeah.
I would say another thing is you see how many Indiana fans were at the game today. I think they're going to pack Hard Rock Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
That would actually be pretty embarrassing. You host the national championship. You get a $3 million travel voucher to go nowhere.
Yeah.
And your own fans don't show up.
Well, again, we have some ideas of where that travel voucher money might go. Michael Irvin's been their traveling secretary.
I mean, look at the crowd today. Oregon, I mean, what was it? The 4K feed I was watching on my phone for a short period during commercials, it just showed you the crowd.
Yeah.
I'm not even sat. Less than 20% was Oregon fans.
Comedy wise, though, Cristobal and Beck winning a national championship over Cignetti, that would be certainly entertaining. I man, that Miami defense, that D-line is legit. I think that's the only thing that can maybe keep him in this. And Miami's playing with nothing to lose, a home dog. But yeah, I'll probably be end up being on Miami. Stay tuned. We'll give it. We'll break this down over the next week. Of course, subscribe to the Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Experience wherever you get your podcasts. Daily college basketball picks. Colby Dant and crew killing it. Kramer, when we return, sports betting blackjack.